Testing level. Checking, 1, 2. Checking.
No wonder you're not getting any sound, man.
Check.
It's supposed to be a little bit on the gonzo side.
Wasn't it supposed to roy a Royer or something?
You want a Royer?
Yeah, you want a Royer for this? I don't think it'd be useful.
For my voice, yes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so we're here sitting on the street, and this is another amazing and wonderful episode of Guitar Talk with John and Jamie. This is John.
This is Jamie.
And that was the quickest one.
I know. Get on with it. Come on. We're going to lose him.
That's right. Reinhold.
Okay, we're here. We're here. Okay, yeah, we are. We're going to lose him. We're here with Reinhold Bauer.
Reinhold Bogner. Yeah, that's me.
Can I do it right?
Yes.
We're here with Reinhold Bogner and Erwin Thomas from Bogner Amplification. And we're here sitting basically at the factory on the street underneath a sunny lamp. And we're here to talk about guitars and what's going on in your guitar universe. And so since we have about maybe 8 seconds of your attention, I'd love to know what you're thinking about these days.
Well, I was working on my pedals in the last year, pretty much. So, like, that was pretty much on my mind. Working
pedals?
Pedals. Like,
okay, you have a new line of pedals.
Right.
Okay.
And the first three are based on, like, my amplifiers, like the Übershall, and then the blue channel and the red channel of my XTC amplifier.
I saw these at the amp show the other day. Are these, is this the idea where you're able to take the sound of one of the bigger amps and go into a clean amp of any style and basically reproduce your amp sound?
That was the idea. There was, basically for, like, traveling musicians who can't take the amp or can't afford our amps, you know, and get something that's somewhat close to our amplifier sound on the road or like at home for the end of the low budget, you know.
Okay.
And yeah, they're made for like basic clean channels. I mean, you can use some of those pedals even in like a crunchy amp and then push it more, but they actually decide like if you have a clean sound, you get pretty much the sound usually need.
But are you thinking like a voicing sound so that if I were playing into a deluxe, which I think is what you guys had at the amp show?
Yeah, deluxe
or any or any or any clean sort of a thing that I'm gonna all of a sudden the EQ and the performance sound will be like I'm playing through an Übershall or an Ecstasy because I own two Ecstasies and love them both. So I'm just.
Well, you should check out the pedals. Well, you'll be pretty impressed. They even have a Variax switch on them, you know.
Okay.
Which is pretty unique, I think.
On a pedal on a ground pedal, it's 9 volts. We're running a 9-volt pedal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
With a Variax switch.
Mm-hmm.
You're an exciting individual.
Yeah, I know.
On many levels.
So are here.
Erwin, what's going on for you? Talk.
Well, I've just started here at Bogner, and I've just.
I love the ambient, but I like the airplane sound just going. It's a low D. I think it's a D.
Yeah.
You know, a low D. Just emphasizing your life.
It's Come a drone.
On. A drone.
Come on, full camera.
Yeah.
Hey, they're trying to steal our shit, man.
Oh, my phone's ringing. That's great. I'm going to tell somebody I'm on the air, man. This is just not working.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
I'm not even taking it.
That's not very professional.
I know. I've turned my shit. I know.
Yeah.
Well, we're out in the middle of nowhere. What do you expect?
Jim Marshall from the grave or what?
Yeah.
This is not right.
So you just joined Bogner?
I just came to Bogner. I've just moved here from New York. And from before there, I was
hence the
accent. Australia.
Yeah.
G'day, mate.
Yeah.
That's not a knife.
That's when I lived in New York. That's the accent that I heard most often. Not a what are you doing? Get the fuck out of my. You know,
right. Yeah. So I'm pretty excited about being here, and it's been probably 20 years in the making, I guess. I'm enjoying being able to listen to guys play great guitar every day and.
Really? It annoys and angers me.
Yeah. Really?
I got to go with that, too. Yeah. I mean, at the amp show, I got to go with 99% annoyance and anger.
Yeah.
And occasional brief glimpses of small joy.
Yeah, every once in a while, you get a real treat. I mean, we had this, Arnie Newman?
Arnie,
who came in and played some beautiful country stuff, and that was a real treat. It was great to hear you play, man.
Oh, well, that's very
good. I really enjoyed that.
I actually do a thing intentionally whenever I go to these shows where I'll actually go into a room where everybody's doing the junk stuff, and I'll turn it to the cleanest possible setting and play like really pretty chords, and just to kind of be like it's a fuck you with chords,
right.
You know, but not really. But it's just kind of like I just want to hear can the amp be beautiful, which always your amps in my opinion have been over the years. I've always
my amps are even distorted beautiful.
That's correct. My first Bogner was a blue. What was the name of it? The blue
fish.
The fish. My first one 20 some odd years ago was a Fish preamp, and that's when you and I met.
Recently re-released, I believe, a little while ago.
Released and already out of production.
That's right.
Yeah. Sold out.
Loving
just
it.
Like that. Just like that.
Yeah, wait for the next 20 years. For the next batch.
The fish
roll
too.
In.
Well, so, I mean, you guys are, the conversation Jamie and I are having is somewhat about the technical aspects, somewhat about the commercial aspects, but one of the things that's intriguing us is, what's important about playing and about guitars and about music that's really inspiring to the people who are working in the industry? Because, you know, between the challenges of the economy and the challenges of being a player in the professional market, it's not easy anymore and on any level. So what are the things that are inspiring you these days that are in terms of feeding your creativity, being a new player here in LA and not a new player by any means, a great player, please go out and check Irwin's stuff out. But I'm talking about, you know, just what's inspiring you guys these days? Except for the guy walking towards us with the transformer power.
Yeah, yes, production questions.
We gotta, right, let's pause that.
That's right. Put it back.
Oh, no, it's okay. This is actually good. This is live radio.
What's inspiring? I mean, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, for me, it was the pedal thing was, you know, a big, you know, obviously it's like solid state. It's like a totally different thing. So that
but
was
what
kind
made
of
you, what moved you towards it? What was the initial impetus to go to pedal?
Well, you know, the things, like, I think we have a pretty wide variety of amplifiers, and we pretty much cover anything from 2 watts to 150 watts, 3 channels, blah, 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 1 channel, you know? So, you know, like, there's only so much room you can squeeze in another amp without shooting yourself in the foot and, like, you know, overburdening the dealers with, like, having too many stock amps, you know, to stock, you know, and, you know,
right.
And, you know, custom always the one they don't have in stock. So,
right.
So it was kind of like, oh, what can we do with besides the amps, you know? And that was the pedal thing, which, like, people begged us to do for many, 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 many years. And, you know, we had prototypes over the years, but never really anything to, you know, to go in production, make it efficiently. And also, like, we needed a different dealer network. That was the biggest kind of part to work out. You know, it was not just the tech player part. It was, like, also getting a bigger dealer network to, you know, have this stuff pretty much in, you know, not all the stores, but, you know, way more coverage.
Sure.
Than our amplifiers, you know.
What was the biggest challenge in shifting to pedal work?
Or just getting a feel for the pedals, because I never really played pedals that much, you know, because
right.
I was like a straight amp tone,
right.
You know, so I thought pedals is for, you know, wankers.
Well,
I kind of like them now.
Over here.
Wait, over here. Like multiple wankers.
Yeah. So, you know,
there isn't.
So, like, you know, it just like, you know, getting to paint with solid state, you know, I mean, like, you know, it takes you a while to get, and I mean, and technically you understand it, but, you know, to kind of know what they sound like, you know how you get the feel and the tone out of those kind of components, you know.
Now, is this sort of the idea of where you would go and listen to like a regular clean amp, not maybe necessarily one of your own, and then listen to what it would be the difference, the sum and difference between that and what your amps do, and then sort of trying to figure out how to match that when...
It definitely was playing through other amps. I mean, like, you know, the Fender stuff. We mm-hmm. bought the Fender Hot Rod Deluxe, that Deluxe from the 70s and, you know, old Marshalls. And that, no, basic, but, you know, the pedals are very much somewhat like... built like the amplifiers, you know, like they have different stages of gain. It's not like an op amp with like two diodes, you know, the typical tube screamer or whatever, you know, that's like 90% of the distortion pedal out there. So like we have actually, you know, for each tube there's a class A stage that simulates the tube.
Okay.
And then some EQ tweaks in between, and all, like, and so, like, it's very much cascading, like our amplifiers.
That I could hear when I played through it. There really was a marked transition between bypass when I was listening to just the Deluxe. Was it Deluxe?
Yeah, yeah.
And then when you stepped into the pedal, there seemed to be a pretty, not significant, but a really nice coloration change.
So it has all that cascading, the EQ, just like the amps, you know, and also the, you know, especially on the XS, you have those four switches where you can, like, pre-EQ, boost, structure. So, like, you can, like, alter the low and high end compression ratio, like, quite a bit. So, that, especially on the XT pedals. I mean, the Ubershot is more straightforward, just like the amp is more straightforward. So,
but you were going for a solid state recreation of the way the tube.
Yeah, because, you know, just for economic reasons. I mean, putting like four tubes in a pedal makes it, first of all, very microphonic, huge on the pedal board, and, you know, but price wise, just like, you're not really attractive.
I thought the footprint is really nice, actually. It's a reasonable size.
That's why we went to solid state, you know, and it turned out pretty good. I mean, I think it's, I was actually pretty impressed, like, how it turned out in the end, you know, like, I mean.
Well, they feel like an amp.
Yeah, they know, have, like, I mean, well, I would say, like, that the beat probably most of those pedals out there, is like when you hit the note separation and the dynamics compared to most pedals out there. You know, the note separation, like, mm-hmm. ding, 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 you know, you play chord and you hear each note, because most pedals that smear kind of the mid-range. Or, you know, they're not very dynamic, you know, when you hit them hard.
Yeah, we did that when we were sitting in the room. I was just really curious, and I was talking with Irwin, and I went, and I just started barely touching the strings and going, holy crap, I can go from where we were talking normally.
Right. I mean, you can even, just like on the blue pedal in particular, you can play, if you play with your fingers, you can actually have it clean and then just spank it, and it breaks up.
Yeah.
You know, when you wind your volume, you know, if you get on your volume, you wind it back, you can clean it right up.
Yeah.
That was pretty impressive. That was really impressive, actually.
One of the biggest drawbacks of pedals for me, it's like I tend to use, like, I use pedals 98% of the time into an amp that's already kind of given it up a little bit, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Having an amp that's completely clean with a lot of headroom and then kicking in a pedal, there are shortcomings. It always feels like a pedal. It doesn't feel exactly the same.
There's like some sort of split in the signal.
So this will be a nice thing to have, you know, to have it. There was a pedal that was out several years ago called a Very Dry. That was probably one of the only, I remember,
15 years ago.
Yeah, and I still have. It was made by a friend of mine named Rick Hamill down in San Diego, and that was the first pedal
that I had.
Well, yeah. The original ones were red. Then they came in blue, and then they were black after that. So they went through a bunch of colors. But yeah, it was just in a big Hammond box.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, big.
But yeah, but that was like the first time I'd ever had a pedal. It's like, okay, I can play through this Pro Junior. And just put this pedal into it, and it just feels like I've just A-B'd over to another amp. It's just great. Wow. It really felt like, but that was a tube pedal.
Yeah, I mean, it had a solid state stage, and then the tube.
You know, that's why it's huge and stuff. I mean, it was a good pedal, but it's like, you know, twice as big as our pedal.
And then you have the noise, it has a transformer in there by the tube, and then it's like, you can't, you know, you have that to, but great pedal. I still have mine sitting in my living room. Still use it sometimes. But the thing that I love about Reinhold is that I've known you for a long time now.
22 years.
It's been a long time. And the way that you approached, you know, at first with your amp mods and then when you started building your own amps, was you were, it's an overused term, but you thought outside of the box. You know, it's like with the Ecstasy, it's like, I want an amp.
I'm trying to think in the box now for those pedals.
Yeah, yeah. But I remember the amp that you had that had the light bulb in it, the voltage limiter
the
in it.
Yeah, it's the Cayman, of course.
Yeah, the current limiter in it.
And
Greg Bales and I used to laugh.
Festus mod.
Yeah.
The Festus mod.
And we were like, this is so great. Where else are you going to get an amp with a light bulb in it? Now, do the Sylvania bulbs sound better? They definitely have a slightly different feel to them.
But you know, they're almost illegal. They're illegal now in Germany, so you have to go with neon light bulbs. I don't think they work that well in France anymore, so it's crazy.
You know, my favorite was one of the things you came up with was a Duende, was the ported side cabinet. Because for me, because one of the biggest issues...
Oh, you mean the double amp, where the
sound actually radiates out the side of the cab.
Right.
Because for me, one of the biggest issues I've always had is when... I'm really super sensitive to high-end transient, and like when I stand in front of a Fender amp, that super transient, I need to be 10 to 15 feet to either side of the amp in order for me to relax. Because if it's super shrill, my tans tighten up and I don't feel so good.
Why you moved to Colorado?
Yeah. Yeah, I needed to be away from this.
At that altitude, there's not as many high-end transients. I needed the
Los Angeles high-end transient ended for me.
That's right.
So I needed to move.
The combination was the thing.
But yeah, the Duende was actually brilliant because you actually could stand in pretty much anywhere, and it radiated in a bigger direction, and I don't know the word for it, but a more omni.
Multi-dimensional.
I've always thought of Reinhold as multi-dimensional. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one of my first thoughts when we met, was that he was a multi-dimensional fellow.
Need to come up with a Bogner Leslie speaker, just so that, you know, just make a Leslie speaker.
Yes.
I think you should have an amp called the Raincoat.
It's going to be flying off the shelf.
Yeah,
that'll
be cut. That'll cut down on the high end transient.
Oh yeah, and I also wanted to mention if there's anyone out there who has any kind of footage, photography, or imaging of when Reinhold was at NAMM in the Raincoat.
The paintings he was with, the 360 amplifier.
Okay, but
I was specifically asked
by Reinhold if we could find that. So I'm just mentioning, if anyone's out there and he's got it, let us know and we'll post
that's
it.
That's the one that was when they invited you to leave the NAMM show. Isn't that the one where you got kicked out?
Yeah, that was the one where the cops wanted to arrest me.
Well, I think you were naked, right?
Under those paper suits from Home Depot. What do you call those? You know, for $2 you buy them, like paper. Yeah.
But it was clear, right?
Well, you know, it's paper clear. I mean, it's milky. It's not like clear.
I heard the rumor was plastic clear, but okay.
Well, no. It's paper clear. It's like, I mean, it's like a tea bag clear. You know?
Yeah,
yeah. Tea bag. Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know, that kind of like...
Oh, I love guitar talk. We just go everywhere.
You can see, but you can't really see. Right. You know, I mean...
Well, apparently...
It was there.
I was actually right near... I saw the commotion, actually. And then I came towards
you.
You
saw the helicopter coming in.
And you were gone at that point.
Yeah. NAMM shows are definitely take on a more exciting.
I always miss the good ones.
Yeah,
you missed the good part at LSL.
Yeah.
Lance, well, that's right. That's right.
Lance is a great guy.
My underpants were flying on stage.
Really? I saw a boot hit the stage, and then I saw another boot hit the stage. And then I looked down, and I saw a pair of blue pants hit the floor, and then a pair of underpants hit the stage. It was brilliant. And
on a headstock.
On the headstock.
They were Reinholds. Were they Reinholds?
Was it Reinholds?
Yeah, they were Reinholds.
I don't know.
Yeah. Folks, if you're interested, Los Angeles, LSL Guitars throws great parties. Lance, you're the man.
Lance told me he's going to frame it, too. We'll see.
The underwear or the photo?
The question was he was referring to.
Well, all right. So this has been an interesting episode of Guitar Talk with John and Jamie out here. Actually, on the street, we are willing to go anywhere for a good conversation.
We're location. This is on location.
This is on location. On location. At the factory. Reinhold, thanks for being here with us. Erwin, thanks for being with us. Anything you want anybody to know? Any place they can go and check out what's going on? They just want to go to Bogner.
Oktoberfest?
Oktoberfest?
It's going on right now.
I have to push it.
Website. You just redid your website.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, absolutely. Mm-hmm. New webpage. Yeah. BognerAmplification.com.
Okay. Wait. BognerAmplification.com. Because you see that so quickly. Okay. Only New Yorkers
understand
it.
Great new videos done by Greg Lee. A bunch of stuff. And there's constantly stuff getting added on too. So.
Okay. And also, I think I did an interview with Erwin at the Amp Show the other day that should be out on Reality Web that people should check out. And talking about the pedals and some really nice examples.
You might want to mention your second name, huh? People can look you up online.
Why don't we do that?
They can find me as
Erwin Thomas.
But if they look up Jack Jones, they'll find
me. It's taken some work to call you Erwin because it's like I've always known
we
you. We go back a ways. But, and I've always known
you. He didn't even tell me.
Jack Jones! You and I met.
You know, it's really funny because I knew we knew each other. You and I met when you were here as Jack.
Really?
And played together at Making Music a couple of times. We hung out
God.
And we enjoyed each other's company, but you had more hair and we were talking.
I think I did have more hair. I decided to take it before God.
I gave him some shit, man. I'm running into him 2 years ago, the name.
Which part?
Like, the beginning
I tried to look it up online. I couldn't find it. It's impossible. Yeah. I changed my name.
Oh. Thanks for
that. 15 years later. Yeah.
Now, which is the actual name? Is it Jack? Your real
name? My real name is Erwin.
Okay, that's what
I thought.
So if people are on the web looking for you?
Well, they can find me under Erwin Thomas or Jack Jones.
Okay.
But after this gig, Gavry, obviously you have to change your name again.
I think we should all change our names. I'm seriously considering changing my name.
I'm just not going to have a name.
You're just going to be... Yeah. Wait, so this is going to be Guitar Talk with John and...
In inverted
and on today's show,
to the website.
but Jack or you were in a band. If anyone doesn't know his background, you were in a great band in Australia called the Southern Sons.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, fantastic! Which, I recommend it. I think I'm gonna go by Joey Bressler next round.
Okay,
you like that name?
We'll work on it.
Chase? Is that just?
That's Charlie, by the way.
That's Charlie.
Real time business.
Welcome to Guitar Talk.
Another voice of Bogner.
Welcome. So let's just wrap this up.
Are you guys recording? Right?
Yeah. So we're gonna wrap this up. So this has been a great show. Thanks a lot for being here with Guitar Talk with John and Jamie, Reinhold Bogner, Erwin Thomas, aka Jack Jones. And
thanks for having us, guys.
We'll look forward to seeing you on future episodes. Let us know if anything's happening, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So now we generally talk while music plays out and ramble on about completely stupid things.
Yeah.
So we can say pretty much anything. We can talk about naked raincoats. We could talk about, life and
can I see this?
Yeah, don't touch it.
I already did.
Hear the sustain and we're just sort of talking our way.
Yeah, we're going to go and get
you got sweaty palms. Don't touch it, man.
Yeah.
Good. That was great. That was awesome. Nice. Thank you very much, Ron.
Not for you.